A woman walks into a job interview and within seconds feels an inexplicable certainty. This isn't right. She can't explain why. The salary is good, the office is pleasant, everyone seems professional. Yet something deeper whispers warning. 6 months later, she learns the company was under investigation for fraud. How did she know? This invisible knowing, this flash of insight that bypasses logic entirely, is intuition, and it's been systematically trained out of most of us since childhood. We live in a civilization that worships data, logic, and measurable outcomes, yet our most profound breakthroughs in science, art, relationships, and self-understanding come from a different source altogether. Intuition isn't mystical nonsense or lucky guessing. It's an intelligence more ancient and reliable than rational thought, and reclaiming it might be the most radical act available in our algorithm-driven age. Think of yourself as a three-story building. The ground floor is instinct, your body's ancient wisdom that beats your heart, digests your food, and recoils from danger without conscious thought. This system, perfected over millions of years of evolution, never makes mistakes. The top floor is intellect, your rational mind that analyzes, plans, calculates, and solves problems. Useful, certainly, but fallible and often blind to what's genuinely new. Between them sits the middle floor most of us have boarded up entirely, the heart, where intuition lives. Our educational systems function like architectural vandals, deliberately bypassing this middle floor. Energy gets channeled straight from basement instinct to attic intellect because the heart knows nothing of efficiency, productivity, or market value. The heart understands love, beauty, poetry, things that can't be monetized or measured on standardized tests. Knowledge separates us from direct experience. A child encountering snow experiences pure wonder, immediate sensory immersion, unfiltered joy. An adult sees frozen precipitation, traffic delays, memories of past winters. The child experiences truth. The adult experiences reality filtered through data. We stop experiencing life directly and start experiencing our thoughts about life, a devastating substitution most people never notice. Most thinking is recycling, borrowed ideas, inherited beliefs, cultural programming on autopilot. The ordinary mind consists of consciousness plus content, but there exists a second state, consciousness without content, where you remain alert yet encounter no thoughts. In those gaps between mental chatter, direct knowing becomes possible. The intellect should function like your legs, useful when needed, quiet when not. For most people, the mind never stops running, churning through scenarios even during sleep. This mental tyranny exhausts us and blocks deeper intelligence. When the intellect finally surrenders, the inner guide naturally emerges. True insight comes through complete dissolution of the knowledge barrier itself, a clear mirror reflecting reality without distortion. Imagination can create hallucinations more convincing than reality. Mount Athos monks, isolated for centuries in celibacy and chanting, regularly report physical visits from the Virgin Mary. The monk with the most intense visions typically becomes abbot, making the greatest madman the leader. This isn't divine visitation, but psychological projection. Combine fasting, isolation, and sexual repression for 3 weeks, and most people will hallucinate conversations with Jesus, Buddha, or deceased relatives. Sexual repression creates powerful distortions. Medieval monks and nuns frequently confessed to intercourse with devils and witches, not supernatural occurrences, but psychological manifestations. Severe repression creates dreams so vivid they infiltrate waking consciousness. Just as starving people hallucinate elaborate meals, sexually repressed individuals develop overwhelmingly real fantasies. The contemporary fascination with psychedelic drugs represents similar misdirection. Professor Balram's cautionary tale illustrates this. After consuming marijuana, he developed elaborate paranoid delusions about police persecution so entrenched that only a staged intervention broke their hold. The path to genuine expanded consciousness runs through meditation, not chemistry, through dissolving mental barriers rather than chemically distorting them. The truly enlightened report profound silence, boundless joy, and notably no gods, angels, or supernatural visitors. Politics isn't confined to government. It's any situation where people jockey for dominance. Corporate boardrooms, family dinners, universities. Wherever humans gather, power struggles emerge. This operates at the most primitive consciousness level, where those drawn to such games typically harbor profound inferiority, desperately proving worth through domination. Consider the absurd historical claim that women are inferior to men, like comparing oceans to mountains. Women demonstrate superior resilience, living longer, falling sick less frequently, experiencing mental illness at half men's rate. Yet, this false hierarchy justified millennia of oppression. Declarations of superiority always indicate feelings of inferiority. This systematic denial explains why society views artists as impractical dreamers rather than essential guides. Few parents encourage children toward painting or music, steering them instead toward medicine, law, or business, professions exploiting intellect. The suppression of intuition parallels historical suppression of the feminine, the heart's receptivity, feeling, and holistic knowing. History glorifies political animals, conquerors, dictators, empire builders, while neglecting humanity's true flowers, artists, philosophers, and scientists who advance understanding without force. At the instinctive level, might makes right. At the intelligent level, right makes might, determined through reason and moral persuasion. Your essential being is pure consciousness wrapped in layers of conditioning. Scientists confirm we perceive only 2% of reality, our senses corrupted by social programming. The first layer is the body, which society taught us to distrust through shame. Reconnect by feeling grass beneath bare feet, sun on skin, subtle fragrances in air. The second layer consists of beliefs, social, political, religious conditioning preventing genuine communication. Fixed beliefs make us like windowless houses, colliding but never meeting. The third layer is borrowed reasoning, arguments that sound rational but lack authentic experience. The fourth layer is sentimentality, pseudo-feeling without action, wallowing in emotional performance rather than becoming commitment. The fifth layer is corrupted instinct, where repression causes natural centers to malfunction. Sexual repression moves energy to the head, creating fantasy instead of presence. The sixth layer is corrupted intuition. When outer layers dissolve through awareness, intuition flowers completely, becoming an inner guide that eliminates external authorities. This peeling away isn't violent removal, but gentle recognition, like morning fog dissolving in sunlight. Only you can undo society's corruption by practicing awareness and reconnecting with direct sensation. Real life requires surrendering to our intuitive, receptive nature, the feminine aspect within us all. Noble physicist Niels Bohr kept a horseshoe above his desk for luck. When questioned, he replied, "It brings luck, whether you believe in it or not." Even quantum mechanics founders understood that intuition flows beneath logical minds. The greatest scientific breakthroughs came through intuition, not intellect. Archimedes discovered his principle while relaxing in a bathtub. Einstein's relativity insights flashed while playing with soap bubbles. Newton's gravitational revelations came while resting under an apple tree. These weren't intellectual conclusions, but intuitive flashes arriving during relaxation. Head intelligence is mere knowledgeability, accumulated facts and figures. Heart intelligence is authentic, alive, and eternally renewable. The head serves as a useful tool, but when it becomes master instead of servant, it poisons life's spontaneity. The journey from intellectual understanding to intuitive knowing requires shifting from thinking to feeling, operating through resonance rather than logic. Your inner guide functions perfectly when you stop thinking. Anthropologist Carlos Castaneda witnessed his master Don Juan running fearlessly in complete darkness, always returning precisely to his location. Our reason teaches distrust of inner wisdom, yet this guide exists in everything, from humans to salmon navigating thousands of miles to ancestral spawning grounds without learning the route. Intuitive living doesn't guarantee worldly success, but it ensures happiness regardless of outcome. The Western approach to reality fundamentally differs from the Eastern way. When poet Basho looks carefully at an azunia flower by a hedge, he experiences wonder and awe, seeing with awareness, without mind, in utter emptiness. Tennyson's intellectual approach of plucking a flower to understand it, root and all, represents the Western mind that must control and know everything, reducing mystery to explanation. Basho represents intuitive consciousness that surrenders to beauty. A destination is external and fixed, something to achieve in the future. Direction is an inner feeling, intuitive and subjective. When we fix destinations, we kill the future by choosing one alternative among many possibilities. Direction emerges organically from fully living each present moment. When we dance this moment completely, the next moment naturally becomes a deeper dance, not by manipulation, but by earned evolution. Your intuition isn't a mystical add-on, it's your birthright, your inner compass. Stop thinking your way through life and start feeling your way through it. Trust the whisper beneath the noise.